Good morning, church. Tommy told you it's going to be a little bit different this morning. We are going to do something a little bit different. Now, I wanted just to focus particularly this morning on one particular Christmas story. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up to it. We're going to read it in just a moment. And it's a really curious story. Out of all the Christmas stories in Scripture, all the stories we associate with the birth of Christ in Scripture, none is really stranger than this story we're going to talk about today, about the Magi who sought Jesus bearing gifts. Now, the legends that surround these particular stories have grown up perhaps more than any other part of the birth narrative of Jesus. And they've evolved over time. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But the biblical text says very little about these particular individuals. We don't know how many they were. We don't know where they were from. We don't know a whole lot about the circumstances at all. But let's begin, first of all, with just the text itself from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, the strange things about this story are, first of all, you've probably heard some of these, but very early on, the legends concerning these particular, seems to be all, they were all men, said that they were kings. Maybe you've heard the song, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar." You ever heard that song? It's top 40. And the legends arose about this time because of Constantine. Now, you don't know. Constantine was the first Roman emperor to make Christianity a legal and legitimate religion. For the first time, it was legal to worship Jesus as Christ. And Theodosius, who was the emperor following Constantine, went one step further, and he made Christianity the only legal religion. He outlawed all other religions. So Christianity kind of becomes, for the first time, a state religion. And with these Christian emperors, the church acquired ruling power. All of a sudden, the church was given authority. They're no longer in the hiding. They're ruling in society. And so interpreters began, who are Christians, they start looking at Scripture through this ruling authority lens. And they saw church-controlled government everywhere they looked in Scripture. And so they looked at this story and said, aha, these magi, which we don't really know what those are, but those were probably kings, right? And so that interpretation of the magi as being kings, that endured for about, well, over 1,100 years, all the way up until the Renaissance and the Reformation. So for over 1,000 years, these magi were called kings. Then you get to the Renaissance, and the Reformation leaders come along, and they were like, no, the church and state being together, that's a terrible idea. And we see that now because of how all the corruption that's going on, both in government and in the church. The church is not doing what the church ought to do. The government's not doing what the government ought to do. And so surely these were not kings. And so instead of seeing them as kings, they saw magi as wise men. That's where we get wise men. Because at that time, remember, Renaissance, Reformation, it's all about learning. What makes the world go round? You learn more about it. And science began to just explode upon the scene. And they're discovering all about the natural world. And so that's the way the world was shaping up at this time. And they interpreted magi as wise men. In fact, you may even have some versions of the Bible that still refer to them as wise men. And so you can just see this in some of the paintings depicted here. And they are gradually transitioning about this time. So you get a little bit of king, a little bit of scholar. So you'll have maybe one with a kind of kingly outfit in there in the background. You've got some others who are wearing the scholar's robe and the scholar's hat, right? The wise men. So with the acquisition of power, the church saw magi as kings. With the acquisition of knowledge, they saw them as wise men. But the text doesn't say either one of those things. Matthew takes for granted that his readers know what a magi is, or really singular would be magus. And so we're going to look at how his readers would have understood. When Matthew wrote Magi and they were reading it, how did they understand it, right? And the curious thing about Jewish literature at that time was the way they talked about Magi, about a magus. They never portrayed a magus as wise or smart or intelligent or authoritative. Remember when Moses confronted Pharaoh? And Pharaoh had his own magicians. You remember that? Well, there's all this Jewish literature that surrounds that particular story. And in Jewish literature, they talked about those magicians as magi. Now, I don't know if you remember that particular story really well, but just a few things that they did. They were trying to counteract Moses. And so Aaron's staff comes up, and it turns into a snake. Remember that was a big deal? Yeah, and then their staff, their staves become snakes, and then Moses' staff eats them all up. They're like, don't! You can almost hear the Homer Simpson dough there. And then they can't get rid of the blood in the Nile. Remember, Moses makes all the blood in the Nile, all the water in the Nile to turn to blood. And they can't do that. They can't get rid of it. They go, but aha, we can make this little bowl of water turn into blood too. Which, if you think about it, is not the solution at all. They're making the problem worse. You're taking some of the fresh water we have, and you're making more blood. That thanks you so much. Right? And then, in Exodus chapter 8, verse 7, they try to get rid of the plague of frogs. What happens? More frogs. Their solution made things worse again. And you go, so you get this sort of humorous depiction of Pharaoh's magi as fools, and that sort of idea is consistent all throughout Jewish literature. Remember the story of Balaam? It's an Old Testament story, pretty small story in the book of Numbers, and he's portrayed in Jewish literature as a magus, and his donkey is smarter than he is. That's the point of the story in Balaam, because He's not listening to God, and he's not understanding what's going on, but even his donkey can see what's going on. His donkey has more sense than he does. Balaam is a magus. So magi were sort of seen as experts at nonsense. They were learned, but not wise. You ever seen that about somebody that you were like, they've got a lot of book smarts, but they have no clue about the world? Yeah, well, that's sort of the way magi start to pick. They've got a lot of smarts, but they can't figure things out. So why would God reveal the birth of Jesus to these Gentile jesters, essentially? Gentile jesters. And I think if we're going to read one more brief scripture here. Matthew 11, 25 through 26 sort of gives us an idea of what's going on here. And at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and had revealed them to infants. Yes, Father. For this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All throughout the book of Matthew, you get the smart people missing it, and the people who are supposedly slow, they're the ones who understand. God rejects the wise and the powerful, and the weak ones, the fools, were the ones who accepted God's message. Those who were wise, those who were intelligent, you get the Pharisees, you got the scribes, you got the priests, the smartest, most learned, most religious men in their society. And none of them get it, right? And you get people like the Magi. They understand it. So Magi were the first ones to see Jesus proclaimed as the Christ. Who was the last one to see Jesus and proclaim him the Son of God? A Roman centurion, also a Gentile. So all of this would have had a big impact on Matthew's Jewish readers because they thought very little of the Gentiles, especially Gentiles who were magi, right? And so the message comes through loud and clear is that the gospel, if you want to get anything out of the story of the magi, is that the gospel is for everyone. Now you and I, we don't have an aversion to Gentiles because, frankly, most of us are Gentiles. But we have an aversion to people who we think that the gospel's too good for. Who doesn't get the gospel? Whose sins outlaw them from the grace of God? That's the message of the Magi. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in being wise and being right all the time that we miss what these Magi clearly saw. Because in seeking to become wise, we can become fools. So this morning, I just want to focus on three really, really brief things. And I mean brief because my wife told me some of y'all got Christmas lunch today. So we're going to keep this really, really short. Three things that the Magi did that we need to do as well. First of all, the Magi sought Jesus. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. Are you diligently, earnestly seeking the Jesus, the Christ, like these Magi? Is your daily journey ever one step closer to Jesus? Do you strive to make his thoughts your thoughts, to make his ways your ways? Are you seeking Jesus? And so if you're going to learn one thing from the Magi this morning, it's to seek Jesus. I'm going to sing a little bit about that.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Draw us ever nearer. Hold us in your loving arms. Wrap us in your gentle presence. When the end comes, bring us home. Oh Lord, your beauty.
So the wise men, they seek Jesus, the magus, the kings. They seek Jesus. And when they come to Jesus, they worship him. Right? The incarnation, God becoming a man, being born of a woman in flesh, that is a miracle of love beyond all reckoning, that the God of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, came to earth, humbled himself to be born of a woman, to walk the dusty roads of Galilee, to lay down his life in sacrificial love on our behalf. That is a miracle beyond all reckoning. That is a God who is worthy to be worshipped. That is a God who is worthy of being adored, not only because of what he has done in terms of power and majesty, because of what he's done on your behalf in love and in sacrifice. That's a God who's worthy of our adoration. And as we pray this morning, as we sing this morning, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we're going to do in just a little bit, this humble meal in his memory, our goal is to glorify him, both in the way we will partake this morning, in our communal worship, and as we go our separate ways, that our lives may be this glowing arrow pointing towards the Christ, that we may glorify him with what we say, with what we do, and the lives that we lead. With all that we have and with all that we are, he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. So let us turn our attention towards worshiping the Christ.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
Dustin's talked about the Magi who, amazingly enough, believed immediately. Christmas is about, you know, who and what we believe in. And I think we all need help with our unbelief. So I just want to express three things that I really believe. First is that this universe was created by a great designer. And in comparison, we are materially insignificant. The second thing is that there's good in the world for whatever complicated reasons, but I'm for good. That's what I want to be involved in. And the third thing is the best demonstration of that good that I can imagine is that the great designer came down to this earth and died for us because he loved us as individual significant souls. And I don't know what else that we need to believe. So we are here to worship that. That fact is the greatest thing that we can imagine. Will you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your love. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who loved us so much that he came to this earth to live with us, to share our sufferings and our doubts and our struggles, and to die for us. And we, at this moment, we celebrate the body that hung on the tree, that hung on the cross, and shed his blood for us. Lord, help us to always think of him, but especially now as we participate in this supper. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You bow with me. Again, Lord, we thank you so much for your Son Jesus and the blood that he shed to cleanse us from our sins. And we know it's not our abilities and our works and our self, but it's because of your grace. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for this emblem that we have to remind us of the precious nature of that blood. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
as we continue this time in worship, remembering Christ and the great gift that he was to us, we'll sing these songs of worship, and then after that, Dustin will come speak, and we'll have our offering at that time. But, man, if y'all bring those back up and have a seat for a little while, we'll bring you back up for the offering. But let's sing, Come Worship Christ the King, and then we'll sing Wonderful, Merciful Savior after that. If you'll please stand as we sing these worship songs. I meant to pass out the music on this, and I apologize. I failed to, y'all can go ahead and have a seat. Yeah, I failed to pass them out. I was communing with you guys, sorry. But it's great to be together. Come worship Christ the King. Alleluia, amen. Praises to him we bring. Hallelujah, amen. With grateful heart and voice, before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. Our lives on him depend. Amen. His love will never end. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. Yes. Alleluia. Come worship Christ the King. Praises to Christ belong. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the song. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's joyful shore, his glory will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. Come on. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. One more time. Alleluia. Come, come worship Christ the King. Yes. Alleluia. Come worship Christ the King. Come worship Christ the King. Amen. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give us healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithful in loving your home. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before
We know that the Magi brought gifts as well. The irony of that shouldn't be lost on us. Many of you have had the misfortune this holiday season of trying to shop for someone who already has everything. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I see it in your eyes. Right? You know how hard that can be. So what do you give the maker of everything? What gifts can you possibly bring to the maker of heaven and earth? What do you give to the one who literally is do all and has all? Now, there's a lot of reasons why the Magi might have brought gifts. In fact, if you go back about 30 years, Herod sent gifts to the king of Babylon when he was born. And so it could be that these Magi were from Babylon and they were coming to repay the favor. Perhaps they were building up this alliance. Perhaps Herod was looking forward to keeping a strong relationship with them in case Rome ever abandoned them. And he still wanted to remain ruler when somebody else, bigger and stronger, came in and took over. There's a lot of political reasons that may have been going on behind this exchange of gifts. What is clear from the way the story is told in Matthew, that these men truly believed there was something special about this child. And so these Magi brought gifts, right? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as valuable as those gifts were, and they truly were gifts worthy of a king child, but these gifts could not give Jesus the honor he was due. As great as they were, you could not give him the honor he was due. Guys, you know what it's like, or ladies, maybe you know what it's like, when you're married to someone, you're like, I'd give them anything, but I can't afford to give them everything, right? And you go, and no matter what you buy, it is not worthy of the person you're giving it to. It can't do them justice, right? And so this week, we're going to pass the plate for our weekly contribution, and we all know what those monies will go towards. They'll be used to do ministry and serve and a lot of great things that our church will do in the name of Jesus in our community and really all over the world. And so in our own humble way, we're giving something to Jesus for the cause of Christ, for the kingdom of Christ. We're doing that, but in a way, it's to him himself. Well, we as the body are living out the will of the head, Christ. So my prayer for us this morning is that as we bring our gifts to Christ, that we will do it like these Magi, thoughtfully, joyfully, and humbly. May we give ourselves to the Christ.
Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you so much. We know that even these Magi believed and brought something, and we just hope that we can echo that in our hearts, appreciating Christ as King, and that we owe him everything. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of God. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. They are yours. We are an offering. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to you. We give to you. We lift our voices. We lift our hands. We lift our lives. They are you. We are an offering. We are an offering.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.